Good morning. This is Sunday, July 20th, 2014. It's about 10:35 in the morning here in North Carolina. And we are continuing our study of Consciousness Transformed, a book that was assembled out of the 1963-64 Hawaii Hotel Talks. And if you remember, Virginia tells us, Joel wrote to many of us that until we assimilated what was given in the lessons July 14th through September 30th, he could not take us further into mystical awareness. And we are on September 29th. Next week will be September 30th, the last talk in this series that she said we need to assimilate. Well, Joel said we need to assimilate. So this week is September 29th, Spiritual Discernment, given at the Princess Kailani Hotel in 1963. Now, remember, this is a little over 8 months before Joel's passing. And I suspect he knew it. Because in this talk this week, he begins to say goodbye. He begins to prepare the students for when he won't be here on this plane. And in the next talk, which is An Eternal Relationship on September 30th, the very next day, he really says goodbye at length. But let us enter into this today. It's kind of a deep study today. Okay, first he gives us an outline. He says, before we started on our 1959 lecture and class trip, I was instructed within that our students did not really understand the healing principles of the Infinite Way. There are specific healing principles that are unique to the Infinite Way, things such as impersonalization and nothingization. And he started teaching in 1947, and he thought that the students were getting this. But upon talking with them and discussing things with them, he began to see, and on the questions they were asking, he began to see, they're not getting this. And so in 1959, he was instructed to stop everything and spend that entire year teaching the specific healing principles of the Infinite Way. Now, one of the things that makes the Infinite Way unique in mystical teachings or mystical paths is that it's twofold. On the one hand, you have an inner spiritual discernment of Christ in your midst. But on the other hand, you bear witness to this Christ as it forms itself and appears out here tangibly as healing. Now, that cannot happen unless you understand the healing principles. Therefore, in 1959, I was instructed within that our students did not really understand the healing principles of the Infinite Way. So I spent the year 1959 traveling the world, giving classes everywhere on the specific healing principles of this message. And if you really must know what those principles are. If you don't know what they are, then Joel says, while you may have some spiritual experiences, you will rob yourself of a major portion of harmony and experiences that you otherwise couldn't have if you don't understand these principles. So it's very important. And if you don't understand them, you can't go on to the mystical. The metaphysical part of the Infinite Way prepares you for the mystical. You can't just jump into the mystical. I know, I tried when I was a child, and it didn't work. So, if you don't understand what the specific healing principles are of the Infinite Way, then you must study the material from 1959. You can do what I did, I contacted the Infinite Way headquarters and I ordered every tape I could get my hands on from 1959. And then I bought The Art of Spiritual Healing, The Realization of Oneness, A Foundation of Mysticism, The Healing Principles of the Infinite Way, and the 1959 Letters. I bought those books and I bought those tapes. I didn't hunt around online where I could get them for free. I bought them. And I still have them right here behind me. And then I made it my business to listen, to study, and to practice. So, he says, I spent the year 1959 teaching specific healing principles of this message. In 1960, 61, and 62, I was given a specific subject each year. In 1962, I believe the subject was lifting up the Son of God. But you can find it somewhere in the writings, and if one of you knows, drop me an email and I will mention what these specific subjects were next week. Okay, so in 1960, 61, and 62, I was given a specific subject each year so that the students might eventually be prepared for the higher works, that is, for mystical consciousness. At the beginning of 1963, now that's the beginning of this year where he's talking now, I received inner instructions to cancel all these plans in order to prepare the students for that which was to come. And I remained at home doing no public work this year. Okay, so he had a schedule of classes, an itinerary that he was going to do. And he went within for meditation. And just like in 1959 when the voice said, they're not understanding this, Joel. You need to teach these specific healing principles. The voice said to him, cancel all your classes. And so he did that. He immediately obeyed. The human being was in servant service to that inner spiritual Christ voice. And so he says, since then I have been teaching 4 days a week, but I have been teaching only those who were invited to be taught, those who were the most ready. So, not only did the voice say, you will now lift the entire Infinite Way into mysticism, into mystical consciousness. But it also said, these are the people you will invite. And more than that, and at the same time, I should say, simultaneously, while he was told to stop everything, invite certain people and begin to lift up the Infinite Way into mystical consciousness, he himself was undergoing an inner initiation. This all at the same time, inner and outer. He's receiving, going through an inner initiation, which is manifesting, demonstrating, forming itself as the activity of lifting the Infinite Way into mysticism, mystical consciousness. You see that? He's going through an inner initiation. He's being lifted up himself. He is ascending into mystical consciousness and being given instructions. This mystical consciousness is manifesting out here, touchable, tangible, as classes, as a person giving classes, as students invited, lifting the entire Infinite Way into mystical consciousness. The two are one, the inner and the outer. The inner experience is just not some nebulous thing that you can't see. It is manifesting. It is showing up out here at the same time. And so the two are one. So he says, since the middle of August, we have recorded on papers and two new tapes, two new series of tapes, the mystical message of the Infinite Way, the message that cannot be learned with or through the mind, the message first develops and then governs the soul faculties or spiritual consciousness or the soul of man. This is the transcendental mind or consciousness of the individual. Have that mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right. So, listen again. I received inner instructions to cancel all of these plans in order to prepare the students for that which was to come. Now, that's what was showing up out here. He was canceling everything and getting ready to lift the students into mystical consciousness. But this is the same thing that was happening to him within. He was being lifted into mystical consciousness because in Beyond Words and Thoughts, which are based on the, some of it is based on the Hawaii Hotel talks, he says, always since my first spiritual experience, living in two worlds has been difficult for me. Living in that higher consciousness and then coming down to earth. Going back into that consciousness and coming back down to earth. But never was it as difficult as in 1963. Now, obviously, he's writing this from 1964. Just a handful of months. Maybe only a couple of months before he passed. So now listen carefully. Never was it as difficult as in 1963. He's talking about when he's lifted up above the mind of knowing the truth to resting back in the truth, in the I am, and being the truth. And then coming back down into human consciousness and then being back lifted up again. He said, never was that experience as difficult as in 1963, because that year marked another period of initiation for me. But even though in 1962 I knew it was to be, I had no knowledge of its intensity, its length, or the nature of the message that would be revealed. And the message that was revealed are these talks. Now, with each successive unfoldment, something was breaking through, leading to the teaching of going beyond words and thoughts, of going beyond the mind. This idea you will find in all the 1963 work, revealing the nature of life as it is lived when you go beyond the mind and beyond thoughts. Beyond taking thought, beyond reasoning, this is the revelation of the nature of Sabbath and of grace. So, he just told us here he says, the message that cannot be learned with or through the mind is what he has been talking about since the middle of August. Okay? That's what he's been talking about out here. He's been talking about the mystical message, the message that cannot be learned with or through the mind. And then in here, in Beyond Words and Thoughts, under the chapter Truth Unveiled, this is the idea you will find in all the 1963 work. Okay, but let's learn a little bit more about what he was going through internally as he was giving these talks. Listen carefully, please. On the spiritual path, we begin our journey by studying the truth, learning and practicing the truth. That's all mental. We never attain the goal of realization, however, until we reach beyond the mind and its knowing of the truth to our becoming truth. That which I am seeking, I am. On the mount, in a high state of consciousness, Moses realized I am. Yet, there remains still a sense of Moses, as is evidenced by the fact that he spoke of himself as being slow of speech. Jesus, however, not only knew the truth, but realized and became the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nevertheless, a sense of Jesus the man remained because he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. This personal sense of self had to be crucified, as eventually it must be in all of us, or we will not ascend. Jesus' realization of the need to crucify our rise above the seeming mortal sense of self enabled him to make the ascension. Now listen to this line. I have it underlined and bracketed and everything else. The ascension is always the same. A rising above mind, above knowing the truth, to truth itself. Says Joel, in many classes and even in some of the writings, I have said that I did not understand the reason for the crucifixion of Jesus, why it took place or why it had to take place if it had to. It puzzled me, and I have frankly admitted this. It was not until the year 1963, which is when he's giving these Hawaii hotel talks, it was not until the year 1963 when I myself went through the experience that the reason and need for the crucifixion of Christ Jesus was revealed to me. So here is this little guy named Joel, and he is telling you in 1963 he was crucified. I myself went through the experience. Somehow, after that experience, the memory of it passed from me, and I could not bring it to conscious recollection. Until later, the entire scene was revealed to me when I went through the experience of ascension, that rising above mind to truth itself. You see that? This is what I saw. In Jesus' statement, He that seeth me seeth him that sent me, he revealed that he had attained the goal of I am. I am the way. Thou seest me, thou seest God, for I and God are one. And there is an experience in which he proved this. You see, he demonstrated it. Out here, the two became one. He took three disciples to what is called the Mount of Transfiguration, which is high consciousness, and he revealed to them the Hebrew prophets who were supposed to be dead. But to his enlightened sense, they were not dead. Whether he translated them into visible form or whether he translated himself and the disciples into invisible form makes no difference, because it is the same experience he translated. He demonstrated, I can lay down my life, and I can pick it up again. I can walk into the invisible realm, and I can walk out again. For I am spirit. I am the way. So here is Joel in 1963. He declares he went through a crucifixion and an ascension. He ascended over knowing the truth to becoming the truth. He sat in and rested in the awareness, I am the truth. In other words, Christhood. Furthermore, he says in this Hawaii Hotel talks later on, it's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I finally made it. And so you can see, out of his own mouth, he went through the crucifixion and the ascension in 1963. He went through that inner initiation where he rose out of metaphysics into mysticism. And at the same time, out here, he lifted up the infinite way, and the students who were ready, most ready, out of metaphysics into mysticism, into mystical consciousness. That's why these talks are so important, because if you are ready, you will be lifted into mystical consciousness. And you will know it not just by an inner feeling, you'll know it by an inner awareness which expresses out here, which is demonstrable out here, and appears out here as healing, as harmony. So, getting back to this September 29th talk, he says, in the early days of metaphysical teaching in this country, it was revealed and stated in some of the textbooks of those days that truth must be spiritually discerned. But it was never taught how you would attain the power of spiritual discernment. Where would you get it, or how would you develop it? Now, he did us a favor in the Kailua Study Series, in that chapter, How to Pray, and again in Experiencing the Christ, by telling us how to develop this spiritual discernment. And he said we do it by having 12 periods a day in which we make no effort at all to meet a problem with the truth. We simply clench the teeth and stand still and wait upon the Lord. Oh, yes, you can, if you have to, take one statement and say, you know, thy grace is my sufficiency, so long as it has nothing to do with the problem. Remember that? Because if it has to do with the problem, then, like an attorney and a lawyer, the sides are joined, and you come into battle. But he teaches us in the Kailua Study Series to not battle, to not pick up the sword, to stand still and see. And again, in The Art of Spiritual Healing, which was 1959 work, he tells us in there that we are to stand still, that our offense and our defense is something that is not physical or mental, but simply an awareness of God. So in those ways, he's telling us and giving us principles to practice so that we will come above the mind and begin to have this inner contact, what he called for many years the experience, so that we may go within and experience God, not as a concept or not as an ideal, but as an actual spiritual experience. And so, in the Kailua Study Series, we're taking 12 times a day for a minute or two or three, and we're just listening. This is how we develop spiritual discernment. And so the Infinite Way gives you the method to develop it. So again, it was never taught in these metaphysical movements how you would attain the power of spiritual discernment. With the human mind, he says, you never can discern spiritual truth. In fact, there is no way to understand spiritual truth at all with the mind. Oh yes, he says, with the human mind you can learn and even demonstrate a part of the metaphysical teachings of the world, because to a great extent these refer only to the mental side of life. In other words, it is a mental activity to know the truth, declare the truth, affirm the truth, deny the error. These are all purely mental activities. Spiritual discernment, however, is a faculty of spiritual consciousness. All right, so you see that knowing the truth and declaring truth and affirming truth and denying error, those are all steps in metaphysics. And he is trying to lift us above that, above having to know the truth, to simply resting in the truth as an experience, to simply experiencing the truth within. Capital T, truth. not knowing small t truths, but knowing the truth, capital T truth, knowing the I, experiencing it. So he says, with the human mind, you cannot discern the inner I or the inner Christ. You can't do it. You have to come up over that. You have to use a faculty called spiritual discernment. And that is developed through these periods of listening. The Master says, I am the bread. I am life eternal. I am the resurrection. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you know what he meant, then you have the faculty of spiritual discernment. If you do not know, this faculty must still be developed within you. Now again, he says, if you know what he meant, does not mean if you know intellectually. If you can say, well, yes, I understand that. I am the bread, I am the life eternal, I am the resurrection. That means Christ, not a man. That's very intellectual, and you might pass a test if you were trying to become a minister or something, but you don't know what he means. No, you don't know. Because when you know what this means, when you know what he means, when he says, I am the bread, I am life eternal, I am the resurrection, I will give him water springing up into everlasting life. If you know what that means, then you have experienced something within. And it is the experience, the spiritual discerning, feeling, knowing, being, that we're talking about here. He said, I am life eternal, and then he died at 33. If you understand that, you have spiritual discernment. I suppose that's why so many people turned and walked away and thought that they were following the wrong master, because he said, I am life eternal, and then he died. But the people that had spiritual discernment, the people that could look with the soul faculty, those were the 500 that knew that he did not die. You see, the two men on the road to Emmaus, they were walking with Christ, but they saw a man, they saw a stranger, until their eyes were opened. And so they had intellectual understanding. Remember, they were discussing these things at length, and there was a teacher, and he was teaching, and he passed away, and he's supposed to raise up, and he's supposed to be resurrected, and they're discussing this very intellectually. All the time, Christ is standing in their midst, and they're not aware of him. And you who understand these spiritual principles intellectually, Christ is standing in your midst, but you're unaware of it. Oh, yes, yes, you can pass a test on Christ, what it is and where it is, but you can't feel it. You know it with your mind, and you can't demonstrate it. There are no healings. So, says Joel, if you know what he meant by dying daily, you have spiritual discernment. If you do not know these things, you will never understand their meaning with your mind, and you will never be able to demonstrate them. Now, if you do have just the intellectual understanding of this, for God's sake, be honest with yourself not with me or anybody else. It doesn't matter. With yourself, be honest. Go back. Find out what principle you missed. Was it the healing principles? Was it the metaphysical part of the message? Was it lifting up the Son of God? What did you miss? Did you miss the Kailua Study Series where you learn how to be still 12 times a day? Did you not develop that part of you which is called spiritual discernment or a soul faculty? Have you remained on the level of the body and the mind? Joe here is trying to lift you into mystical consciousness. That has been the entire purpose of the Infinite Way. In fact, he says the entire purpose of the Christ ministry, or the Infinite Way, is to develop spiritual discernment. You see that? That's the entire purpose. And he says, this year, 1963, our meetings have been attended by those who were invited to attend. And undoubtedly, more would have been invited had we known of more who were ready for the experience. All right? So he's saying that there are those students who are ready to go beyond the mind into mystical consciousness. And now he's trying to prepare the students for his leaving. He knows he's leaving. You see, he's gone through the inner initiation of crucifixion and ascension. He's been instructed to lift the Infinite Way into mystical consciousness and all those students who are most ready. And he knows that he's going to be leaving in just a few months. And he's trying to prepare the students. He says on October 9th, that's the following month, Emma, his wife, and I will fly to London. And there, too, are teachers, practitioners, and tape group leaders from all over England and the continent of Europe will be invited for a month of this same work that we have been experiencing here this year. So he's telling them that he's going to go over there and also lift up the students that are ready. This was his work. This was how Christ demonstrated through him, not just as an inner spiritual experience, but as an outer mission and activity. He says, after we leave England, those from abroad will be prepared to do the same work in their communities. Now listen. Because, says Joel, it must be evident to you now that this work, which is so active on five continents and on many islands of the world, can no longer be handled by one teacher. Therefore, one teacher will function through the other teachers, practitioners, and tape group leaders so that the work can be carried forward into consciousness. You see what he's saying? I'm going to be leaving, he's saying. One man can no longer do this, but the consciousness of the Infinite Way can function through you all. And in the next week's talk, he is quite a bit more specific about his leaving. He says here, I want to sum up for you now the nature of this year's work. I am assuming that you who approach this work due to the 1959 through 1962 work already know the basic principles. Without these, I do not see how it would be possible to sufficiently develop the spiritual faculty necessary to the understanding and demonstrating that which has been given to us this year. So he's going to summarize now. In the Infinite Way, you have been taught that there are two distinct levels of life. One is the human, that which is made up of mind and body. Paul refers to it as the natural man, or the creature. You were born as this human being, you grew up and were educated as this human being, and you remained so until some experience brought about the transformation that lifted you into the Son of God, or spiritual consciousness. So hopefully you have been involved in the work of 1959 and the work of 60, 61, 62. You have lifted up the Christ, the Son of God, and you are ready for the other level of life. He says, if you have studied the message of the infinite way, well, you know why prayers are never or rarely answered. You know that you cannot reach God through the mind, and that all the prayers you can voice or think with the mind have no possibility whatsoever of reaching God. And again, I must say, if you discover you only have an intellectual understanding of these principles and you're not able to demonstrate them, and you don't have this faculty of spiritual discernment, there's nothing wrong with going back to find out what did you miss. The metaphysical part of the message has to do with truths that you know with the mind, such as the healing principles of impersonalization and nothingization, and resting back, such as practicing taking no thought, as in the Kailua Study Series suggestion of 12 times a day, sitting back, standing still, and listening. By knowing the correct letter of truth and then listening, those two hand in hand will lead you to your first glimpse, your first inner experience of spiritual discernment. It will develop that soul faculty. That's the faculty that Joel experienced when he began practicing meditation, and he said he had an inner experience. It took him 8 months of practice before he had a nanosecond of something happen within, and he said to himself, was that it? Did I just experience that? And it took him another 2 weeks before it happened again. And then it happened again and again. And finally, he reached the place where he was able to rest back at will almost and receive an impartation from within, from that consciousness, that Christ consciousness. And finally, in the year 1963, he was crucified to personal sense of self. He ascended up over the mind and became that consciousness, and then within a few months, he left. Physical sight, that is. But the consciousness that he was and is still functioning through the infinite way and through the infinite way message. So, he says, if you have studied the message of the infinite way well, you know why prayers are never or rarely answered. You know that you cannot reach God through the mind, and that all the prayers you can voice or think with the mind have no possibility whatsoever of reaching God. You know that praying to God for persons, things, or conditions is a waste of time. You see, if you've done this, you're ready to go beyond the metaphysics, beyond knowing the truth, to being the truth. In other words, you are ready to ascend. He says, if you have studied the books of the infinite way well, you know all this. You also know that there is a way to reach God, and that there is a way through which prayer is answered, and that is given to you in the Kailua Study Series. if you will go back through the talks that I've given you and the material that I've given you since, what is it now? When did we start? 2005, almost 10 years ago, you will see that we've come through the same journey. We started with Herb Fitch, but that seemed a little bit deep. People were asking questions, and so it was obvious that they hadn't come up through the principles. So we covered spiritual healing. Next, thanks to our good friend Sharon out in California, who sent me a copy of the transcripts of the Kailua Study Series, we studied that material. Then we were able to introduce the revelation of St. John because people were more nearly ready. And now we are covering rising out of knowing the truth to being the truth because some of us are ready for this. Says Joel, for years you have had the benefit of the letter of truth, which, when consciously realized, has brought forth healings, improvements, and harmonies. Perhaps you did not realize that something greater than these was happening to you. Your consciousness was being reborn. You were dying to the old belief that you could appeal to God. You were dying to the old belief that there were powers opposed to God. You were dying to the old belief that God caused any of the discords of this world, or was responsible for any of them, or could be appealed to stop them. That should have been what happened to you over, well, if you've been with me since 2005, over the last 10 years. There are two levels of life, the human level, which is made up of mind and body, and the level which is the Son of God, or Spirit. If you have discerned that there is a man of earth, and that there is a man who has his being in Christ, if you have discerned why it was taught that you must put off mortality and put on immortality, then you are ready to understand the message as you will receive it from now on. There again, he's preparing the students for his departure. You are ready to understand the message as you will receive it from now on. You will now approach that time in your own spiritual development when you will be taught of God. Because Joel is leaving. And here he says it plainly. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Master did not provide for his remaining on earth forever. Eventually, we will all be able to say, I am instructed, guided, protected, and illumined by God. All right, so there and in the next day, the next day's talk, because this was September 29th and the next day is September 30th, the last talk in this series that we were supposed to assimilate to be ready to go higher, he is going to talk again about his leaving. I didn't see this at this depth that I've seen it since I studied it for you. He says, each one must answer this for himself. Is the teaching of the Infinite Way truth or fiction? No one can convince you of this either way. You yourself must have an inner experience. It must be possible for everyone on the face of the globe to receive an assurance from God that there is a God. Fear not, for I am with thee. What is this, fact or fiction? As long as you are the natural man, thinking with your mind, you cannot accept these passages of Scripture. These passages of Scripture were not made for man whose breath is in his nostrils. The New Testament says, He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Now, spiritual discernment tells me that this is not a man speaking 2,000 years ago. This is not even a Christ speaking 2,000 years ago. No, this is my own inner self. This is the Christ of my being. This is the capital T truth. Saying, you must ascend up over the body and mind into me and abide in me. Because if you do that, you will bring forth, you will demonstrate much fruit. But if you don't abide in this inner something, if you abide only in the mind and body and in an intellectual understanding, not only will you not bring forth much fruit, but you will be cast forth as a branch that is withered. And so now choose you this day whom you will follow. The Bible recognizes two levels of life as we do. The level of humanity, which is not consciously abiding in the Word. And the Bible also recognizes the second level, those who live and dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Yes. He is inviting us to join him in the crucifixion and ascension out of material, mental consciousness into spiritual consciousness. You have received your invitation to the feast. Will you come? I ask myself questions when I look at this. How many, I wonder, were in that room during these months when he gave these talks? How many joined him? And where are they? Should they not be practicing these principles and teaching and demonstrating them? Should this consciousness, this inner consciousness, have, if they found it, really found it, should it have not appeared as concrete, tangible, touchable demonstration? Where did they go? Did they disappear? Did they only have an intellectual understanding? Was there just one or two or five that caught this and accepted the invitation and acted on it? And how many of you listening to this, now you know, you cannot claim ignorance, because over the last few months we have made these talks plain. You have been invited to rise up into mystical consciousness. Now, will you come? He says, come to the state of consciousness revealed to us this year. Remember that God is the life of individual man. And so there you go. Come. Come to the state of consciousness, my friends. Come. And he is speaking out from that state of consciousness. Okay, let's put it plainly. He is in your inner consciousness saying, come. Because he is not a man. He says, Moses received the name of God. And if you remember, he only gave it to the high priest. He didn't give it to everyday people. 100 years before the Master came to earth, there was another Hebrew Master who was crucified because he attempted to impart the secret name of God to the Hebrew world. For 100 years, the name was again secret, but Jesus was determined to follow in the footsteps of this great Master, and he revealed the secret name of God for 3 years, until he too was crucified. The importance of the secret name is this: unless you know it, you never can fully relax the tension of living, nor can you relax in the spirit and be God-governed, God-taught, God-protected, God-supported, and God-maintained. Only when you receive the revelation of Moses and Jesus as to the secret identity of God will you be able to realize the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Oh, you may have heard in plenty of talks and read several of Joel's books, and you may claim, "I know the secret name of God, it's I." Yes, it's I. And you may spout that out and speak that to yourself and think that you have it. But if you only know that with your mind, then you do not know the secret, very secret name of God. You only have this word in your mind. I wrote over here in the margin, "Joel has revealed the secret name of God, but it is still not known until it is experienced." And Herb Fitch told us, "Only the Christ can reveal the Christ." And so, to know the secret name of God is an inner experience in which you are lifted into the Christ, and Christ reveals the secret. And he tells us that you will receive a new name written upon a stone, and no one knows what it is, saving he that receiveth it. You remember? Ah, you are invited to turn within, come up higher, rest in this inner Christ, and through spiritual discernment receive the secret inner name. But, says Joel, you cannot know this with your mind. So hang it up if you think you know the words and that's enough. You will have to have the same discernment that Peter had when Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which the Master replied, "Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Nothing in the mind could reveal this. It was the Father within. It was divine consciousness. Now, when people come to us in sin, poverty, and disease, the only reason we can help them without using material means is this same power of discernment. Through the spiritual consciousness, we know that you are not what you seem to be. Why? Because we also know the secret name. Because, he said, we have had the inner revelation that has disclosed your true identity. That's why we can help. That's why healings take place, because we can go within, rise above the body and the mind. We can look with spiritual discernment and behold Christ. We know that God constitutes your life, your mind, your soul, your being. We even know that your body is the temple of the living God. It is not the words in a book that heal. It is the state of consciousness you attain through abiding in the Word. And here is a clue, a hint, if you will. The very moment your consciousness begins to lose its fear of everything and anyone in the external world, by virtue of your understanding, remember this understanding is not with the mind, by virtue of your understanding that the kingdom of God is within you, consciousness is transformed. The old fear consciousness dies, and the new consciousness of realization is born. Every step of your study, practice, and meditation peels off at least one onion skin of mortality, and in that degree reveals one onion skin more of your immortality, until eventually enough mortality is worn away so that your immortality becomes increasingly more apparent. Now he says, the infinite way is not a message that heals. As your consciousness comes into bloom, it does the work. Your consciousness is the comforter. Well, there is something. Your consciousness is the comforter when it has lost its faith and fear in externals and has developed the realization that all power is in the infinite invisible within you, here where you are. The answer must be clear to you. I and my Father are one. That would really be enough to develop your consciousness if you did nothing more than live with that one truth. I and my Father are one. Think what that does to you when you live with this one passage for a month or two or three. Okay, so right here he is telling us, you are not to read 17 Joel Goldsmith books this month. You are to take one passage and live with it for a month or two or three. That would be, my friends, four passages a year. And indeed, I know where Joel has said one passage has haunted him for 2 years, as long as 2 years, he says. So, here he is suggesting that you open the book and you take one passage, whether it's the Bible or an Infinite Way book or something else, take one passage that hits you and live with it for a month or two or three. How different is that than reading 17 books and listening to 25 tapes? This is something that you have to enter into. This is not something that the body or the mind can do. Oh yes, in the beginning you're tricked into it because you go to someone that's practicing these principles, and you tell them of your problem, and they go within in meditation, and you perhaps experience a healing, or things improve, or there's harmony. And now you're really excited. Wow, I've found the kingdom of heaven on earth. I can pull the kingdom right here where I live. And so you begin to try to pull God into your human experience, and then after a while it stops working, and you're like, what happened? So you go deeper into the message, and you discover, wow, this is not about improving humanhood. This is about dying out of humanhood. And experiencing the crucifixion of all that, and ascending, experiencing the ascension above all that into Christ consciousness. Then you begin studying a little different way. If you miss something, you go back and find out what it was. You don't berate yourself or beat yourself up about it. That won't help. You go back. Just as if you miss something in school and you have to go back and repeat it. I never did understand the beginning parts of algebra, so I have to go back and take a refresher course. And then once I understand binomial equations, I can go forward, you see? So it's the same. It's the same as when I was learning the guitar and I had to go back and learn some chords that I didn't get. I didn't know the F chord, or I didn't know the A minor, or I didn't know the A seventh or B seventh. So I had to go back and learn that so I could play a particular song. It's the same. You say, oh, I missed that. Let me go back and practice. And then you slow it way down. See, we're not going to do this like we do instant TV dinners or instant fast food or instant replays on Facebook. No, we're going to slow this down and take one passage for 1 or 2 or 3 months. Then you will see, he says, it's not the passage, but the consciousness the passage develops. Scriptural quotations work only when you take the passages into your consciousness and accept them. Okay? So, when the name of God is revealed to you, the secret name of God, when you know that name, and you abide in it in secret, and relax in it, and let it be your protection, your support, your supply, well then, the moment the thought of lack or limitation arises, you can smile in the realization, I am the bread, the meat, the wine, and the water. See, you're meeting it with a smile. Remember? We wondered, how can you do that? How do you meet 300 cases a day? Gosh, you have to sit down and know impersonalization and nothingization, and you have to then get still and reach that place within where you can have a contact. How do you meet 300 cases of the flu a day like he did? Ah, but then you take this passage for a month or two or three, and it begins to develop your consciousness. You develop spiritual discernment. And then, when you know the secret name as an experience, you're able to pick up the phone or look at something or have somebody speak to you, and you're able to meet it with a smile because you've developed the consciousness that's not afraid. You've developed the Sabbath consciousness that rests in an awareness. Or he says, the moment some serious disease comes to your attention, either in yourself or in someone else, you can again smile. I am the life eternal. I am the resurrection. See, you're meeting it with a smile now. Because why? You're not meeting it with truth. You are the truth. It's the truth that's smiling. When death touches you or others around you, you can smile. I can lay down my life. I can raise it up again. I can walk in or I can walk out. Okay? Do you see? You could not possibly give this to a person who could receive it only with the mind. Most people do not understand Immaculate Conception, Resurrection, or Ascension, and you can see why. In the moment that you understand the nature of the word consciousness, you will then know that the only truth there is Immaculate Conception. Okay, now I got a couple more pages. I know we're kind of running over a little, but I knew that was going to happen before we started. On the next page, he says, God is not a male. Once you are free of the concept of a male God, you will understand Immaculate Conception. It will then be so simple. Yes, because when you understand by a spiritual experience, by spiritual discernment, the secret name of God, oh, you will know God's not a male. You will know God's not a female. You will know God as spirit. When you understand God as spirit, you will understand that your life is spiritual. You will know there was nothing for man to be made of but the spirit of God. Again, he says, you cannot understand this with your mind. You can understand it only when some measure of spiritual discernment has come to you. All right, so he says, once again, I am going to remind you that the real secret of the message of the infinite way is an understanding of the nature of God and the nature of prayer. Once you have those, you have the infinite way. But you will not receive them with your mind. They must be spiritually discerned. Says Joel, once this happens to you, you will discover a mystery. No person is ever permitted to receive this knowledge or awareness for himself. It cannot be received in your consciousness if you are thinking what it will do for you. And so that's why the newer students cannot be given this truth, because they cannot receive it. Oh, you can try to bring them to an intellectual understanding of it, but that sort of robs them, because then they think they've arrived and they haven't. No, you know when a person has caught this. How? Because you will see truth has not been given to glorify you, but to glorify God. You receive God's grace to glorify God and to show forth God's presence and God's power to those seeking light. And so those that are doing this have received this, and you know it. You don't even have to ask. No one can receive a spiritual message with the mind, only with spiritual discernment. How many times and ways does he have to say it? As this message continues through teachers and practitioners, let them all remember this. You have not been commissioned to reform the world or to change the churches. You have been commissioned only to present this message to those who are seeking it, those who are ready. As you now study these papers, which have been mimeographed since August 16th and the tapes since August 18th, carefully watch every message that concerns the revelation of God and the revelation of prayer, because this is important. When you know God aright, that is, when you know the secret name of God, you have life eternal. How will you know that you know God aright? How will you know? By the fruitage. Because to know him aright is life eternal, and life peaceful, life safe, life harmonious. With all your understanding, get the understanding of the nature of God and the nature of prayer. It is in true prayer that our oneness with God is made evident out here in life. So, many people are still misunderstanding and thinking that this world is an illusion. I can hear it in what you say, what you type. This world is not an illusion. And when you understand this, you will come to see it's the thoughts in the mind about this world. It's the thoughts you entertain about this world. That is the illusion. That is the glass darkly. When there are no thoughts, well, let's read it right from Joel's words. Hang on. This is from The Art of Spiritual Healing. The principle behind this process is that inasmuch as the activity of the human mind is the substance and the activity of hypnotism, or the illusion, when the human mind is not functioning, there is no more hypnotism. When you are not thinking thoughts or words, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped. The hypnotism is gone. And when you experience this within, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. Okay, you catch a glimpse of God is. So, the illusion is never external. There is no false world. You are standing in the secret name of God. And that will manifest and appear. It will take on form and appearance as harmony, as supply of every name in nature. And you will see it demonstrated tangibly, touchably. Tangibly, touchable. You'll see it. Because when there's no glass darkly, then the two become one. My kingdom and this world become one. The Christ is demonstrated, and you see it. You see it by its fruits. Okay, so we ran over a little bit. It's an hour and 11 minutes. And we'll just take a breath here and probably end it. Let's see. I can only say this. The invitation has been extended. If you are not ready, you probably, if you are honest, you know it. Go back and study the principles you missed. If you are ready, the invitation is extended for you to rise above knowing the truth to being the truth. You are ready for that experience known as the Sabbath. Okay? So, come. And follow me, says the Christ. It said it 2,000 years ago. It said it in 1946. It said it in 1963. And it's saying it in 2014. Come and follow me. Thank you.